What is up, guys, and welcome to another episode of Metalcore Mania. You know the vibes. It is going down. We got so much to cover on this episode, man. This is going to be an action-packed one. We got a lot of stuff to cover. I know I've been out. I missed a couple of things that we're going to touch base on just a little bit. Not too much in depth. There's been a lot of new upcoming bands, man. I've been excited about that. Always keeping track on that. And there's just a lot to explore. And, of course, me, I'm just staying really busy when things slow down. Which they should slow down, you know, around winter break. Hopefully I can start pushing an episode out every week. That would be a lot of fun, or even more, like multiple episodes a week. That would be awesome. But I definitely had to release an episode, man. I know I'm a little late, couple of weeks out from I Prevail's album, but considering I Prevail's last album, their 2019 album Trauma, was a top three 2019 album, I had no other choice but to make an episode about their new album, which we should be super excited about, man. I was very much looking forward to that album called True Power, man. And hopefully it did not disappoint, guys. Hopefully it did not disappoint. Now, I actually listened to the album in real time as I was recording this episode. So everything you're gonna get from me is just basically raw reaction, raw thoughts, and I'm actually excited to talk about that album, man, because I Prevail is definitely one of those bands that have always pushed boundaries, and I've considered them a crabcore band, and you know, they kind of fluctuate between post-hardcore, crabcore, metalcore. So I definitely wanted to check that out. We'll be covering that at the top of the hour. We're also going to be doing some August singles. And later in the episode, we'll also be covering mid-season awards. And of course, that's going to be exciting, man. You know, I just wanted to give credit where it's due for a lot of these bands that have come out with good projects, good sounds, and we're definitely going to cover that. You know, it's what, September, early September, so we're about at the midway point, so there's a lot more to happen. There's going to be a lot more coming out. I know Lorna Shore has a project coming out, and plenty of other bands are going to be releasing some more projects as time goes by, so don't get too attached to a lot of these albums as far as believing that they're going to be the greatest of the year, because you never know, man. Anything can happen. Anything is possible. And at this channel, Metalcore Mania, we cover it and we get into it, man, because we could keep our foot on the fucking pedal and we stay metal. And like I said, I was excited about this album, and we're gonna get into it, man. Let's dive right into it. I Prevail, True Power, the album. So first, in chronological order, we have the first track, which is 0.00. Very interesting song title. And, you know, it's just the intro track. You know, it starts off like sounding like distorted space audio, basically. You know, that sets the mood for the album. You know, it lets you pretty much know that the album may be heavier than the last album. The intro feels as though someone is being attacked as well. So, you know, just a little bit of, you know, different things going on there. But, you know, it's just a, you know, it's a decent intro. I'm not really too sure what they were going for with it. So I couldn't really rate it anything higher than 2.5 because, you know, pretty cool sounds, but nothing that really stood out about it. And, I mean, I've heard some really, really good first track songs on albums. So I had to give this a 2.5. Definitely could have been a little bit more interesting for sure. The next song we have is There's Fear in Letting Go. The song starts off with faded keynotes. That opens up this one with rapid drum snares and a cool spontaneous scream. There's faded keynotes basically make up the entire instrumentation besides the chorus, which is different. And I Prevail is known to be unique in their instrumentation, especially how choruses are different. Like I said, the chorus is definitely interesting. It's built up in this like heavy collision chorus, but doesn't quite get heavy necessarily. But the vocals were so good, and the vocals were really fucking great there. And following the second chorus, there's some experimentation that happens as all vocals and instruments sort of fade out for a while. And it's well worth it as we enter one of the greatest breakdowns this year. Catapulted by drop beat, steady tuning, bass rapid progressions, top tier production of an almost fire alarm sounding effect, which was absolutely fucking incredible. Just absolutely just perfect how they just added the cinematic stuff with the, just the tuning and everything. It was just spot on. And overall, that, you know, as far as the message of the song, in my opinion, it's about suicidal thoughts, the realization that the anxiety and anguish you've taken from others and yourself keeps pushing further and further from yourself. It's pushing you away from yourself, fearing being uncomfortable or maintaining your identity. So this one was pretty deep, you know. It definitely gave me some thoughts there. And man, the rating of this song has to be a 5 out of 5, man. So they didn't waste any time, and they gave us an absolute banger for the second track. And man, I really wish there was a music video for this song, but we didn't get one for this one, interesting enough. But yeah, man, definitely a classic song right there. Moving on to track number 3, we have Body Bag. And Body Bag has faded riffs that open up this one. And you hear like a very angry scream. Very solid. Very up-tempo chorus and rapid drum progressions. Post-chorus, we have a gnarly breakdown-style verse with great guitar play throughout the entire track. The second chorus, and a little different from the second one, it has more of a in-your-face style scream and instrumentation during that second chorus. A little bit of hip-hop in this one as well, which made the song more unique to the scene than it already was. A few parts that had deathcore instrumentation with insane drum progressions and low-tuned bass flares. The entire song feels like a fucking convulsion, literally like an inferno. Like, man, I'm pretty sure I was on fire for at least 30 seconds from listening to this track. I swear to you, I was. Like, I was burning in the fucking house. Like, this track was, it was crazy. Just put me on fire. Like, really, I think I'm an arsonist now, man. I think I might actually be an arsonist. I'm pretty sure. So, you know what? Fuck you, I Prevail. But, you know, it's pretty much the song is about a whiner, a complainer. You know, things don't get better. That's a false tale. That's the message they're trying to convey to this subject. Deal with life or be left in a body bag, man. That's just pretty much the tale of the tape for this one. Rating wise, I gave it a 4.5, so it's pretty close to being a 5, but gave it a 4.5, very solid. So they're let's see if they can keep the momentum going as we move on to the next track on the album, Self-Destruction. Now, Self-Destruction, faded rhythm guitar notes open this one up with Linkin Park style vocals, where there's just aggressive talking, essentially. So for these tracks, really are really different from each other and this one is the most experimental song I've heard from them. If you don't know the devil, then you don't know me, man. I don't know what else to tell you, man. If you don't know the devil, then you don't know me. After the opening, I wasn't surprised at how much rapping was in this track. I wasn't when you consider the opening of the song. It has some very fun breakdowns toward the end of the song. I really enjoyed them. Being a big fan of Attila, I'm used to the scream hip-hop, you know, style of song making. It doesn't bother me. I actually, you know, it's interesting. It's unique in its way. With that infusion, it's rather interesting. At times I felt I was at a rave, you know, literally felt like I was at a fucking rave at times in this song. Other times I felt like I was at Coachella, and other times I felt like I was in hell. With the eerie production quality to this song, definitely felt eerie. You guys know I usually don't give highly experimental songs a good rating, but this one did it for me, considering also the music video had depth to it and provided more value with the interesting quality of it. I recommend listening to this song with the video for sure. Definitely recommend that. It just gives it more quality as far as the messaging and everything. About it, the song is basically about being in a dark place and not wanting out from it. Good example of this could be, you know, like a prisoner staying in prison, or a gothic person staying gothic. But after watching the video and actually really digesting the lyrics, I actually changed my mind what it was lyrically. And to me, I actually thought that it was about speaking as the Wicked One. So like speaking as if, you know, like the subject of the song is Satan, you know, the oppositioner. Created the ever consuming world that we know and leading followers to destruction, having a hold on the world. In the video, once enough people are possessed while you're watching the music video, because that's what's happening. Once enough people are possessed, demons are collecting enough energies to manifest the devil himself and lead them to the darkness. Now, my personal opinion on if that's like a bad thing or a good thing, I don't give a shit. You know what I mean? Like, I break down what lyrics are and I explain them to you guys. It's not my opinion or my take or if it's, you know, like right or wrong or good or bad. This is just what's happening in the song. Now, me personally, do I mind satanic lyrics? No, I don't mind them. So it doesn't bother me at all, but I just wanted to make sure you guys had an understanding that this is just my digestion of what the lyrics are saying, not my actual personal, you know, beliefs or anything. But overall, I gave the song actually a 4.5 after listening to it the second time. Because the first time I listened to this song, I actually didn't really enjoy it that much. Maybe gave it a 3. But then actually, like, listening to it that second time and realized, like, how just diverse and experimental it was in a good way. I just think that that's so hard to pull off to the point where you deserve a high rating for even being able to pull that shit off. So for me, I went from giving the song a 3 to jumping it all the way to a 4.5. So we have another 4.5 on the track, as far as the album's concerned. So we got a couple of those, man. We got a 5 going, so. And one thing I noticed about a lot of albums, man, especially last year, is that a lot of the great content was in the first few songs. So let's hope that that didn't happen with this album, but I did notice that you know, just covering and doing the podcast, it's just something that I noticed. It's like the bands are putting all of their, like, their inspirations, all of their, you know, their accumulated talent, if you will, into the beginning of the album. I just find that to be pretty funny. So let's see how this one held up. Moving on to the track Bad Things. This one opens up with a faded classical-like undertone, Linkin Park-style verse. Melodic chorus add a nice touch. The breakdown was perfect for the overall style of this track. Was worried for a second it was going to be too heavy for the tune. The balance is key, and heavy isn't always good. And what I mean by that is, of course, you know, like, we love heavy shit. You know, a lot of you guys, you know, that listen, also listen to black metal, deathcore, and all these things. But that's not what I mean. What I mean when I say heavy isn't always good is that for a specific track, you may not want to add heaviness to it. And a lot of times, bands mess tracks up by, you know, having some huge breakdown in a soft song. You know, a really good example as far as a band doing it correctly would be Demigod from Architects, how that song was pretty much, you know, melodic, had a flow, you know, to it. But, you know, Demigod, during that chorus, it was, you know, doing that breakdown, it was heavy enough to where it fit the track. Also, you saw that in Little Wonder as well. One of the best breakdowns, you know, I think of last year. The album was last year, I believe. So, yeah, those are examples of how to do it. Examples of not how to do it is if your song just feels completely like it has no chance of having anything heavy in it. Or sometimes songs just flow well being clean. You know, it's just a good flow. And then when you add that heaviness to it, it just doesn't, you know, it just doesn't fit well. It just kind of like makes the track go in a direction that you don't necessarily want it to go. But anyways, you know, just an overall solid track that doesn't have much repeat value, as far as I'm concerned. But it's a great car song for sure. I could see myself enjoying it if it lands on shuffle. Definitely ride to it. My favorite part actually was the distorted pulse towards the end of the track. Fucking perfect to me. Self-reflecting that the subject is not a good person by society standards, understands this and accepting it rather than pretending. So, you know, about basically saying fuck you to someone. Pretty much, you know. So that's basically the summary of the song lyrically. And overall, I gave it a 3 out of 5 stars. Moving on, we have the track Fake. Light drums and keyboards. Fades open this one up. Experimental first verse with heavy drums, then light drums, heavy bass, sets the tone for another unique track. I love the fake chorus vocals. I just found that to be very interesting. This song definitely has some Motionless in White instrumentation from the first chorus to the end of the song. You just kind of can feel the Motionless influence. Reminded me of some of the, you know, songs from Graveyard Shift, including like Not My Type. When you listen to Not My Type, you can kind of hear Fake as well. Would be interested to know if they were influenced by those tracks. Also felt some Get Scared, Cynical Skin going on in there at some point. The breakdown was a guitar solo that had Escape the Fate influence to me. So overall, the tracks delivered for what it was, and it definitely has repeat value to me. Varies a song that basically sounds like a conundrum of a bunch of different songs. you know, and I definitely, you know, realizing lyrically, the song's about realizing how someone you care for is really a zombie, and you're growing apart. That's pretty much it, man. Some of these lyrical breakdowns are funny, man, but it's true. And overall, I gave the song a 4 out of 5. Not too shabby. Not too shabby at all. The next track we have is Judgment Day. The track opens up with microphone distortion and explodes too fast. The pace, chorus, and drums, and definitely got some hostile vocals there. The chorus is decent. The bridge sort of saves it in a way with catchy, fun vibes. Makes for a good party song. I can definitely see this track being in my hardcore party playlist. You know, it's up-tempo, very good harsh vocals on this as well, which was the X factor, honestly, in this track. Overall, I gave it a 3.5 out of 5. And lyrically, I could not really come to a conclusion with this one. And you guys know that happens sometimes. I don't want to just say something that I don't really believe. So if you guys know, let me know, man. Send me those DMs. Let your boy know. Moving on, we have FWYTYK, which stands for Fuck What You Think You Know. Opens up with auto-tune-like vocals with a cool piano backdrop. Melodic fun guitar rhythms with ominous production pretty much make up majority of this track. Impressive outro, one of the best you know, I've heard all year. Alien production like vibes, insane drum play by Gabe, man, really went ballistic on this one. Heavier instrumentals that just balance the song out effortlessly. And overall, lyrically, it's about, you know, Eric has stated that you think you know what a song is going to deliver, but you have no idea what's coming, but you're going to love it. So essentially, the song is about the title, man. fuck what you think you know. You don't know what we're going to do. You don't know what keys we might play. You don't know if we might even include the bass. You don't know if we might even include drums. We do whatever the fuck we want to do. But guess what? You're still going to like it. Overall, I gave it a 4 out of 5. Very, very solid track. Very solid. Next track we have Deep In. Deep In opens with minimal instrumentation and production. Song is all about Brian and Eric. And what I mean by the song is all about Brian and Eric is that they basically, this song is just revolves around them. You know, like I said, it's minimal instrumentation and production. So the song was dedicated to the vocals and what they wanted you to take from the inspiration of what they were saying, the message. So it was just all about them, you know, and they did a really good job on this track. Lyrically, the song's about onslaught of depression that you can't get rid of or out of. You just feel that you're just sunking in there and you just can't quite get out of that shit, man. It happens. Overall, I give this track a 2.5 out of 5. You know, pretty average. Not bad. Not because it wasn't heavy. It's just, I don't know, it just wasn't a whole lot going on. Like I said, it was just all about the vocals. But if you're going to be a 5-track song, you got to give me more, man. The next track we have is Long Live the King. I love this song title, man. You got a song title like this, man, you got to come with some heat, baby. I need to hear the inferno. I need to feel on fire. You got to Long Live the King. Like, man, you gotta blow me away, man. I'm sorry, but you have to. Long Live the King. So let's see what this song had to offer us. So Long Live the King opens up the song, literally, along with rhythmic guitar patterns that are snappy, more rap-like lyrics, first verse that develop into a more melodic flows, a cool bridge, pretty catchy with pause and play chugs. Another great outro track, which was needed. Great production there overall. Very, very solid track. And when I say a great outro track, by the way, what I mean by that is that the song had a great outro, not that it was like the last track of the album. But in other words, the outro was just fantastic on this song. You guys know I'm big on outros. When we have our award show, we care so much about outro, we have a winner for best outro of the year. So that can save a song. And actually, there was a few times on this album where that happened. So yeah, Ben, very solid. About the chaos that happens during a live show. That's pretty much lyrically what this album is talking about. In my opinion, they're just talking about all the mayhem and all the shit that's going on. So from their point of view, lyrically, when you listen to the lyrics or when you read the lyrics, you can just feel that that's what they're talking about. When they're talking about this is happening, that's happening. It's just all the things that sort of go on when you're in those moments, baby. So moving on to the next track, we have Choke. And that's what I don't want you guys to do while you're listening to this. Do not choke. So Choke, sonically, this one opens up with the commonly used ones and twos bass and guitar rhythms that evolves into an up-tempo Holy Grail. Overall, this song reminds me of Gasoline from the album Trauma, or volume song Man on Fire from the album Happier. Every crabcore, post-hardcore, or even melodic metalcore band always has a song like this, where it's fuck the status quo, we're gonna be loud in your face and suffocating. Sometimes these songs don't work, but this one for sure had solid qualities about it. It wasn't overproduced, no hip-hop, no bullshit, just good vibes, you know? That was it, man. Just right in your face. We're gonna yell and scream at you, and you're gonna shut the fuck up and enjoy it. And you're gonna go by your merry way. It's as simple as that. Lyrically, the song for me was about torture and paying for your sins. Yeah, man. In other words, you're gonna choke. Overall rating, I gave the song 3 out of 5 stars. Very decent track, and there you have it. The next track we have is The Negative. The Negative opens up with light instruments setting up and transitioning into an energetic chorus and post-chorus low screams. The inescapable howl scream Eric does is primal, man, and it's excellent. This song was all about Eric showcasing his talents, man, and Eric and Brian really have developed into arguably the best duo in hardcore music. Yes, I said that. One of the best production songs on the album, as the effects, was always timed perfectly placed with the roaring bass to back it up. It's about a dark place, suffocating and just emitting the frustration and hate that's about to build up because of it. Overall, I give the track a 4 out of 5. Very, very good track, and very, very good message as well, man. You know, because things do build up inside of us, and a lot of times we don't want to have that outlet or let it go. We just want to hold on to things. You know, we don't want to talk to this person or talk to that person or go outside and feel the air or do yoga. You know, there's plenty of things we could do to, you know, omit some of that frustration or depression or whatever it is. And, you know, a lot of times we just don't even want to. Sometimes it has nothing to do with finances or anything or resources. We just don't want to. But whether or not that's good or bad, why are you asking me? I don't know. But yeah, that's pretty much. We're back from commercial break, guys. Sorry that was a little abrupt, but I had to get this episode out to you guys, man, so fuck it. So, but anyways, so the negative, overall, I gave the track a 4 out of 5, a very, very solid track. And, you know, we move on to the next track. It's been a long review, man, all these goddamn songs on this album. I love it, man. I love it. Why not? The next song we have is Closure. Closure opens up with very light instruments, setting the tone that this will be mostly or all clean vocals and that melodic track that we may need to slow things down a bit, you know? Sometimes you need things to just kind of slow down just a little bit, you know what I mean? And just kind of get your breath back, get that wind back. If things have just been a little bit too heavy or, you know, you want to get your wind back, you know? And it's always important to have those songs, even when you're a super heavy band. You know, apparently Eric had other plans and comes in like a torpedo and rips it during the breakdown and post-chorus. For a guy like me that listens to much heavier music like black metal and death metal and such, I'm never going to complain about uncleans in any song. I don't care. I don't care if it was a jazz song, but I actually think this particular song would have made more structural sense to be all clean, as we spoke about earlier. I think Brian had this down to a T. But hey, what do I know? You know what I mean? But yeah, I enjoyed the heaviness to it that Eric provided, but I think that this song just would have made more sense to be, you know, a lighter track overall. The song lyrically is about being conscious, about ending a relationship with someone mentally. You know, before anything ever even happens, you know, you're just mentally, you know, just ready and you're conscious of that. You know, just having closure even before it's an official breakup, you know. So most likely related to a romantic relationship, but, you know, could be with any relationship, I'm assuming as well. Overall, I gave the track a 2.5 out of 5. And that wraps it up for Closure. Decent track. Visceral is the next track on the album. Heavy bass chugs open this one up for us boys and girls. Has a catchy chorus. Not much to discuss on this track besides a volcanic breakdown that implemented the same bass chugs from the opening of the track. Just straight up rapid fire beat, man. Just rapid fire heat for you, man. And that's gonna do it for us. You know, I respect I Prevail understanding that a great outro can save a track, man. I was just talking about this earlier. You know, great outros, great songs. You know, just find a way to keep us happy, man. That's all we ask for. Just keep us happy. You know, I just finished drinking a fucking Happy Dad. Okay, so I would prefer to be happy, if that's okay with everyone. So just give me a great outro, you know? I'm not asking for too much. Or maybe even a great intro, and, you know, we can toast to that, okay? That makes sense, right? The next song we have is Doomed. The track opens up with what sounds like a door opening while piano play becomes the sole instrument, letting us know this is going to be a reflective lullaby close out to the album, as it is the final track. And as we see with a lot of metalcore bands, the last track is usually softer, you know. Why? That's a very good question. I actually don't know why. I don't know, man. Not much to unpack sonically for this song besides the, you know, the melodicness of it, of the track, you know, the low to no chords, and just a ride off into the sunset, man. You just kind of ride off, you know, you sprout and you become one with the trees and with the land, you know. This would be a great song to listen to while you're on fucking acid, okay? You know, don't you want to become one with the sea? Don't you want to ride the waves of gloriousness? I think we all want to do that. So stop listening to the podcast and go listen to Doomed, okay? But only if you're on fucking acid. I'm not talking about amino acids. I'm talking about that real shit. You know what I mean? Yeah, that stuff. Yeah. You guys get the point. But overall, the track lyrically is about the subject reflecting on life as they've, I believe, this is just my opinion, I believe they've contracted some disease or condition that's life-threatening. We know this because of references lyrically like, end quote, "the more you look, the less you're gonna see." Another one is, "take my hand, it's all that I have." And finally, "waiting on my last train home." So definitely sounds like a motherfucker's dying. And obviously this isn't necessarily about any of the band members, it's just a subject. You know, it's songwriting, it's art. You guys know this by now. I'm a lyrical savant, okay? Well, let's just be honest about it. Overall, I give this track a 2.5 out of 5. You know, decent, you know. Nothing crazy, just an, you know, average track. I'm not sure if I said the rating for Visceral, but just to be sure, I gave Visceral 3.5 out of 5. And overall, finally, after recapping 15 fucking tracks, after listening to an album that lasted over an hour, at least that's what it felt like, we go to the album recap, and we get right into it, man. What was the album about? What was the message? Why? What did it do for us? Let's get into it. True power, baby. I got that true power. I don't know about you guys. Overall, my summary of the album is it's very, very fun. So many twists and turns and unexpected chords here or savage low growls there. Unpredictable, which is a plus considering... it makes records more memorable if done correctly. Brian and Eric are definitely in the running for greatest vocal duos. There's no doubt about it. Honestly, at the top of my head, obviously I have to do an episode of it to really go deep down into that rabbit hole. But right now, this year at least, and just overall the landscape of metalcore, man, I'm not too sure there's a better duo. Yeah, I can't think of one right now that's a better metalcore duo, man. I really can't think of one right now. What they've done, what they've developed, what they've become, the chemistry was absolutely bonkers on this album, man. But there are definitely some competitors, man. There's definitely some competitors. Don't get it twisted. Definitely some competitors. Volumes being one that I could just think of, you know, easily right there. But I definitely need to give Eric his flowers. However, you know, that man's versatility to do cleans and deathcore growls at times, you know, his range is something you rarely see in any vocalist, man. Not just in metalcore, but in any genres. Most people don't have the range like that. And let's see, man. Let's see if Eric can win Vocalist of the Year, man. He might actually take it. We'll see. You know, the message of the album, I felt, just from digesting, you know, instrumentally and lyrically, is the band is taking their power back. Notice the last album's name was Trauma, so I believe it was the perfect title for where they are now with their music, you know, powerful. I mean, is this band new metal? Is this band hip-hop core? Is this band crab core? I mean, we don't really know, but we do know they're metal as fuck, and they're also not for everyone. Okay, I will repeat, I Prevail is not for everyone. If you're traditional, if you're, you know, one of those dudes, you know, I searched for podcasts yesterday just to see if there's been more metalcore podcasts and things like that that's been put out. No, man, it's all these fucking heavy metal podcasts. They want to talk about Anthrax, a band that was out in the 80s and shit, and Black Sabbath, a band that was out in the fucking 70s and shit. Like, I get it. I'm not hating on them, but it's like, Jesus Christ, dude. We're in a new era. We're in a new wave. Like, yeah, heavy metal is cool. You know, it's more about the instruments, you know, you could say, but it's kind of stale, man. It's like, it's predictable. And hey, man, we're not predictable over here at Metalcore Mania. We're open, baby. We do this, okay? Not everyone wants to hear rapping in their metal or electronic effects, but that's also why there's so many bands to listen to. And guys, please do me a favor. Please, because I've seen this. Sorry, guys, I got a cold. But because I've seen this on some YouTube comments just from watching their music videos, man. And please stop calling I Prevail pop. Can you guys please stop doing that? Like, just because they made a song with the rapper Joyner Lucas, who's, you know, a known rapper, they're all of a sudden pop? Oh, they can make songs with him because they're pop? Like, dudes, please shut the fuck up, okay? And I hope none of you guys are those kind of people that, you know, say that people are pop just because they have elements of pop style genres in their music. That does not make you pop. If that was the case, then I Prevail would be on the would be in the running in the VMAs or the fucking Billboard award shows and shit. Like, dude, they're not pop. The popular world's never going to, well, I'm not gonna say never, but where we are now in society, we are not ready to accept breakdowns as a popular thing. We're just not. You know what I mean? Like, it's one thing to have someone, you know, it's one thing to have like genres like punk and just, you know, rock and stuff like that appeal to the masses, because it's not like super heavy or groundbreaking, but like those genres don't have massive breakdowns. Like, you know, it's just different. A lot of people, it would take them a long time to comprehend and understand the art behind that shit. So please, what I'm really trying to say is we must stop with the genre shaming. We gotta stop doing that, please, guys. Everyone on the channel, if you know someone that does that, or even if you do that, I forgive you. I don't hate you. But come on, guys. Today is the day. We gotta stop doing that, man. I'm serious, man. Like, if I see someone genre shaming again on any type of comment or anything, I'm gonna report the comment. I'm gonna flag it, dude. And I know that may not do much to stop it, but like, come on, man. Like, just stop doing it. If you don't like it, just move on. You know what I mean? Like, people in the scene like it, enjoy it. People like me. Okay, let it go, man. It's all good, man. It's all good, I promise you. But overall, I gave the album, rating-wise, a 4 out of 5. once I listen to it one more time, I can see it potentially being a 4.5, maybe. We'll see. But as for right now, after that first to second listen, you know, I say I listened to it 1.5 times because some of the tracks, the really good ones, I listened to them again. Or if I thought they had the potential to be really good. But yeah, I give it a 4 out of 5, man. After just all the numbers, adding them up and things like that. And so is it a letdown? Is this what we expected? Did it exceed expectations? Well, when we compare this album to Trauma, I do believe that this album is better than Trauma. And for as good as Trauma was, I just think that the best songs on Trauma were not as good as the best songs on this album. Now, with that being said, if I'm being honest here, Trauma did have a more balanced album. Like all this 2.5 stuff you see on this album, 2.5 here, 2.5 there, 3 here, and they didn't have a song that was lower than 2.5, but like, I don't think Trauma had a song that was lower than 3.5. You know what I mean? So, just different. But I personally, I guess, if I'm being biased, I do prefer this album because it was just heavier. So, you know, I like my heavy shit, man. And that's just the honest truth. But like I said, if I'm being unbiased, Trauma did have more content that as the years go on and we go into these, you know, we come up into the year 2030, I'm probably going to be listening to more Trauma than I would be True Power. I think it's going to age better. But overall, it's still a really, really good album. Not quite classic as I was maybe expecting it to be, but it was definitely a really good album. Definitely a really good album. Definitely some replay value. And like I said, man, when a band has a great album, like a classic album or something like that, you can't expect the album to be better the next go around. That just never really happens, you know. So, and my favorite track, if you're wondering, is There's Fear in Letting Go, the only 5-star track I gave on this album. I was really hoping for more 5 stars, but that's okay. Fear in Letting Go, man, that like I said, that track's phenomenal, man. It's not like super heavy, but it's just very well done. It's just perfect in its own way. But that's gonna wrap up the album summary for True Power. I hope you guys enjoyed that review. We're going to be moving on to talking about some August singles. So stay tuned, stay here, and stay metal. We will be back. Peace. What is up, guys, and welcome back to Metalcore Mania. Let's go. We're going to be diving into some August singles that I found to be either quite interesting or maybe because of the band's name, I wanted to dive into them. You know, the credibility, as they would say. And We're gonna do it. The first single that we're gonna dive into is Mass Produced by deathcore band Oceano. This song still has that classic style, old school deathcore, you know, rip it chuck grooves and all that good ass shit going on. And you gotta love it, man. I still love that old school feel to a lot of the deathcore stuff. As we know now with a lot of deathcore bands, they don't really play by those rules anymore, so to speak. So it was quite interesting and also like a little bit of refreshing to see that Oceano could still, you know, do that sound. The hard vocals and the bass drum just really stick out on this track. You know, the track wasn't like super unique or anything like that. What I do love about the track also is that "this is not a fucking game" line. Man, that shit just stuck out to me. I thought that was really, really cool to just kind of add that into that. "This is not a fucking game." Like, that was pretty cool. I was, you know, the little bit of lead guitar play felt proggy to me. And it was a good dynamic for the song, I felt like. The breakdown was a blissful cataclysm. Absolutely fucking amazing there. And when you watch the music video, it's even better, of course, man. I'm always going to recommend watching these music videos. And yeah, you got to watch them, man. You got to know the real story of what's happening. You know what I mean? Overall, I gave this song a 4.5 out of 5. So Oceano is still relevant. Oceano is still doing the damn thing, man, after all these years, man. Proud of you, boys. The next single we're going to talk about is Boneyard Horizons by Parkway Drive, one of the fan favorite metalcore bands that have been in the scene for as long as Oceano. And I was never like super big on Parkway Drive. I'm not sure why. I don't know. I just never really was. But I know some of their best songs, like my favorite songs by them, are usually so fucking good. But like from an entire album perspective, I never could really, you know, I never could enjoy enough songs to where I like kept up with them a lot. But because this was a single, I wanted to cover it. You know, it opens fast paced, you know, with the intro, you know, snappy drums and small little transitions as the verse begins. The song shows how dynamic they are and still has the classic chugs that they were, you know, so good and well placed by this band. You know, it's like a breakdown style chorus as well, which I found to be super interesting to have like almost like a breakdown chorus. It was pretty cool, interesting enough to where I gave it overall a 3.5 out of 5. You know, solid track, definitely solid track. I can see what Parkway Drive is going with this track, and hopefully they come out with some bangers, man. You know, I know there's a huge market for Parkway Drive, and hopefully they come out with some bangers, man, so I can cover it, man, and give them a lot of credit. Our next single, we have Chelsea Grin, Origin of Sin. A cinematic shit opens this one up. You know, there's a huge cinematic buildup, incapacitating high screams early, with the cinematic undertone throughout creates epic vibes, and the song continues to be relentless. Tom's vocals were absolutely insane, along with the drumming throughout. Fucking fantastic. Highly recommend listening while watching the music video once again. The music video has so much meaning, so much awesomeness, so much just brutal shit going on, gory shit. Well, let's not over-exaggerate here. It wasn't like super gory. Motherfuckers weren't dying, but, you know, it just felt so dark, you know. But, definitely would recommend this. I gave this a 5 out of 5. No problems. Nothing bad about the track. I just felt like it was absolutely really good. So Chelsea Grin, after all these years as well, they're still here. They're still here finding a way to be relevant and finding a way to be brutal. And you gotta love and respect them from them. These boys went from Krukabanger to Origin of Sin. Can you fucking believe it? I really wanted to give the meaning of what that music video and what this song was about because it was so fucking great. But I don't want to do it until the album comes out, which they're actually releasing two different LPs, like a, you know, like a flip, an A and B LP type of thing. And I believe the first one's due in October next month or November. And the other one's going to be doing about like March, I believe. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting enough to see when these LPs come out. And see, man, see if they really, really still got it. And if it's not just the single or singles. The next song we have is Reaper. Of course, you know, with Reaper, there's a lot of hammers and upbeat drumming throughout. The galloping rhythm during breakdown and sick hammers during what basically felt and created like a cinematic breakdown for a cool track. Very fast-paced opening that blitzes us with violence and adds a lead guitar as a cherry on fucking top. And also, it seems as if it's going to be a heavier track. But actually, it actually transitions into a lighter song than expected, which I found to be quite interesting that it sort of does that. And you actually see that sometimes with some tracks. They seem like they're going to be like this softer track, but then they kind of or get super heavy, or sometimes they seem like they're going to be super heavy throughout and then they get kind of softer. And we know... of course, this song is by Fit for a King, and we know that Fit for a King can, you know, especially in their earlier days, they definitely could be a lot more clean and fluid, but now they definitely have picked up the pace, especially with their last album. And overall, yeah, this was a really, really solid track. I know they did also release another single. Unfortunately, I did not digest that single. But it would have been cool to cover it. I forgot what the name of it was, but I'm pretty sure I listened to it. I want to say that Reaper's the heavier track between those two singles, but do not quote me on that. But the album cover for what is going to be a great album by Fit for a King. I do believe also that this album's coming out this year. It's going to be fantastic just from that album artwork alone. When you see album artwork that looks like that, you're guaranteed to have greatness. It's going to happen. We will see it. We will taste it. It will be on the tip of our tongues, baby. And it will happen. Because when you have artwork like that, you can't let the people down. You just can't. Overall, I give this song a 4 out of 5 rating. Very, very, very solid track. Can't hate on it. What can you say, man? And that's pretty much going to cover all of the August singles. I know I missed some here and there. But, oh, I also want to give a special shout out to Norma Jean and their album Death Rattle Sing For Me. I listened to the album. I did not take the time out to cover the album and review it like I did I Prevail's album, because Norma Jean's another band that I've never been like huge on or expected a lot from. But I will say that A Killing Word, that song, highly, highly recommend listening to that song, especially with the music video when they're like swimming underwater and shit like that. There's a lot of depth to that song lyrically, and it's a lot of fucking greatness to it. Brutal, really good song. Actually, it's funny, man, because I watched that music video before I listened to the entire album, and that music video and that just that song in general, man, gave me so high expectations for Norma Jean. Like they were going to have it. Like I was going to get another song like I the Planet or some of their other classic songs that they've come out with. But similar to Parkway Drive, for me, Norma Jean's always been that band that just gives, you know, that gives you those bangers here and there, but they don't, you know, I can't just, like, listen to their albums consistently. Just not for me. But yeah, I do respect the hell out of Norma Jean for sure. There's no doubt about it. Now, I also wanted to get into some voicemails and some DMs. I know I have not really given you guys the feedback on what you guys have sent me. I do apologize for that. But I do, because I saw these voicemails, man. It's like, I do recommend actually contacting me through Instagram, whether that's a DM or if you want to just write on my page. Of course, like I said before, you guys can reach me at Dr. J Florida on Instagram. You can reach me on Snapchat. It's J is so weird. That's J-A-Y. And I got a couple of other personal Instagrams, but, you know, I don't really want to give those out. But definitely dedicated to Metalcore Mania, you want to reach me there, because, you know, I'll be having so much shit that life throws at me that, unfortunately, I forgot to check this, man. But we definitely wanted to cover most of these voicemails and even I think a couple of DMs here. So we're going to get right into it. Let's see here. Just gonna scroll down here. And the first one that I'm gonna read is from Jesse. Jesse asks, what is your favorite band? Of course, Motionless in White. MIW, baby, forever. Till I die. I know I'm trying to sound cool now, but yeah, Motionless in White, of course. I mean, come on, let's be honest. Do you listen to the pod? But yeah, definitely Motionless in White. Appreciate the question, Jesse. The next one we have is from Daniel. Daniel asks, hi, Metalcore Mania. Who do you have as the greatest album ever from any genre? And that's a very, very good question, Daniel. Very, very good question. And my answer to that would be, I want to say Immortal by Lorna Shore. Yeah, I want to say Immortal by Lorna Shore, to be honest, man. Yeah. Yeah, it's not a metalcore album. I do apologize. It is a deathcore album. But Immortal had everything, man. And to be honest, it pretty much saved 2020, because there was very little going on in the metalcore scene in 2020. I still remember doing the annual award show, and I remember Immortal winning that, because I couldn't, there wasn't a good enough album in 2020 for me to give to a metalcore band. But overall, the answer is about Immortal, and that album had absolutely greatness on every single track, not one bad track. And the songs were from great to immortal, pun intended, by the way. But really, really good album, really, really good album. In case you're wondering, my favorite song off that album would be... was my favorite song off that album? I don't think it's Immortal. Warpath of Disease. Yeah, that's my favorite song off that album. Next, we have one voicemail. Biggest regret, he asked. For me, my biggest regret would probably be not discovering hardcore music sooner. Thumbs up. You know, what can I say, man? I could have been in the scene a long time ago. Could have had this podcast 10 years ago. Imagine the numbers my podcast would have been doing. No one was even thinking about this shit, you know? So, but yeah, of course, man. I would have to say that one. Appreciate the question. Next, we had Nathaniel. I think he actually says a statement. He says, "I'm with you. Too many fans genre shame. It has to stop." I appreciate that, Nathaniel. Yeah, for sure, man. You must have listened to some of my previous episodes when I talk about that. Yeah, man, there's a lot of genre shaming, man, and I really harp on that for sure because it's just something I'm passionate about. Like, I don't like when people just keep complaining about what a band's doing. And, of course, I saw this a lot because, you know, like I said, when I first got into the scene, my favorite band was Attack Attack. So this is something I've seen for years, you know, a long time ago. You know, when I was listening to Attack Attack and other people were listening to, you know, Parkway Drive or As I Lay Dying, and they were saying, well, dude, that's not real, you know. So, yeah, man, we're all in this together, okay? And that's just it. The next DM or voicemail I got was from Jackson Grimm. Jackson Grimm says, "Hi, Metalcore Mania. Hope everything is fine. Check out our music. I would recommend listening to Autumn and Treasure Hunter. Wish you the best." So, actually, Jackson Grimm, I actually did listen to your music, funny enough. And I must say, man, Treasure Hunter is actually on my top rated playlist right now. I have your song Treasure Hunter in one of my top songs, man. Treasure Hunter was absolutely insane, man. That track was fucking awesome from start to finish. Sonically, instrumentally, really good track, man. And I listened to Autumn too, and Autumn was not a sleeper song. Treasure Hunter, I definitely would give probably a 4.5 for you listeners out there, man. Autumn was up there, man, somewhere around the same. Those were good tracks, man. So if you guys don't know Jackson Grimm, check them out, man. Just judging off of those two songs, They definitely got some potential. And that's Grimm, I believe, with one M, not two M's, Jackson Grimm. And yeah, man, you guys should get, man, with tracks like that, you guys need to definitely, of course, do house shows. Do as much shows as you can. Get your music out there. Master it. Put it out there to fucking Rise Records, Fearless Records, let them know you exist. Try to get your following up as best as you can. And yeah, man, go for it. Because you guys, with those tracks, I know you guys definitely got potential. You guys should be signed. But yeah, man, so appreciate that. The next one we have Josephine. She says, "What's the best music video so far this year?" Ah, man, that's a really good question. The best music video so far this year. Actually, you know what? I can't answer that question. The reason I can't answer that question is because right after this, we're going to be getting into my mid-season awards. And I'm pretty sure that's one of the categories. So I can't answer that, Josephine. But I appreciate the question. You will find out soon enough. The next question is, this person actually didn't say their name or anything, but they said they either didn't say their name or I just didn't see it or whatever, but they said, "What band inspired you to get into metalcore?" Easy answer, Bullet for My Valentine. They were my inspiration. They definitely, I would say, created the opening, if you will, for me to accept metalcore. Because that's the thing, you know, when you don't know about like harsh screams, or you know, obviously society finds that to be quote unquote weird. So you know, it's a process, you know, you have to become comfortable with something before you can accept it, right? So it's like with Bullet for My Valentine, they were, you know, pretty much just a rock band, but they had plenty of songs where they screamed. So it's like you hear that screaming, but it's rock style. So it's like, you know, they, you think you're just listening to rock, but then once you hear those screams, you become like immune to the screams. So, you know, that pretty much progresses. So now as you start listening to other bands that are screaming, it's like you forget that you, it's like you almost forget that you're not listening to rock anymore. You're just listening to art, you know, and that's how it happened. I feel like Bullet for My Valentine definitely opened that door for me, man. By the way, if you don't know Bullet for My Valentine, definitely go listen to Fever. That shit's fucking fire. The next one is no name on this one either. Would you ever start a black or death metal podcast? A black or death metal podcast. To be honest with you, there's plenty of those out there, I'm sure. I am definitely into death metal, not as much black metal, but I'm definitely into a lot of death metal. But I don't know, man. I don't even release enough content on this podcast right now to even be thinking about starting another one, unfortunately. So definitely not in the near future, let's just say that. So yeah. And the last one that I got down here is from Jennifer, who says, love the podcast, and as always, stay metal. You fucking know it. Of course I will. You don't even have to say that. Jennifer, wherever you are in this glorious world we're in, right? Yeah, she didn't even have a question, just a statement. That was solid, man. I appreciate that, man. Of course I'm staying metal. Always. We live by that, right? And that's going to do it for that segment. That was fun. I enjoyed that. And we're going to go on to the mid-season awards, which is why I didn't answer that one question. But before we do that, we are going to take a quote-unquote commercial break, and we will be right back with some more devastatingly metal shit. So stay tuned. Keep your foot on that fucking pedal. We'll be back. Here we are, baby. We are back again to Metalcore Mania. And we will present to you right now the mid-season awards. I was constantly singing that during commercial break, but you do not want to hear me singing that, trust me. But, man, this was an interesting list to make. We definitely have fun making this. Now, I did realize that, you know, like when I do the annual award show, that I have a lot of categories, a ton of categories. I usually have like fucking, I don't know, maybe 12 categories. But for this, I'm not going to cover all of the categories because I just think it's too early to cover them. And I just think it's a little odd to cover them. Like categories like best vocalist or just the best instrumentalist and shit and things like that. Like, what's the point of covering that if it's not the end of the year? Like, I just don't think those things make sense to cover. So I just cover the more like fun, interesting ones that, you know, it's just cool to cover, even though if they may change, you know. So I did about 6 categories, but by the way, there's going to be, I added a few categories to the annual award show, so look forward to that. Definitely going to do probably add a few of those, man. So enough chit chat. The first category, we have the best music video. And as you guys will see, a you know, a lot of times, even when I do the annual award show, sometimes the categories will have four nominees, sometimes I have five, but four is typically the standard, the normal, you know, amount. But, you know, if it's a crazy competitive list, then, you know, I'll throw five or even six at times. Some of the categories will only have a few, like maybe two or three candidates, you know, because it's mid-season. So some of them just aren't competitive enough for me to keep a set standard, you know. It's just like, why if it's not competitive? But anyways, the first category, Best Music Video. The nominees are Masterpiece by Motionless in White, Self-Destruction by I Prevail, Carnal Red by Monuments, and Origin of Sin by Chelsea Grin, which we were just talking about a few minutes ago there. Yes, this was a tough list here. You know, had to think about this one pretty closely, because we all know Masterpiece was very solid, all those fucking flames and shit. Self-Destruction was very in-depth, very, very deep and dark. You know, I love that shit. Chelsea Grin had all the elements to it and the eeriness to follow it. But, you know, this is Metalcore Mania, and because it was a close one, I gotta go with the Metalcore one, you know what I mean? Or at least Progressive Metalcore win, which is the winner, Carnal Red by Monuments. Now, when you look at the music video, right? So it's like my interpretation of the music video is that, you know, there's a guy who is in what appears to be a dark, voided area with no one in sight, who begins to use incense and candles in a small ritualistic room setting. You know, a box has a mass. It's almost like a, it looks like almost like this divine box, or just, it's an interesting looking box, man, that this guy opens that has a mass inside. And every time he breathes in this oxygen like mass, he emits smoke from his mouth, which is a metaphor for him trying to take his life back. But every time he tries and goes away, it goes away with the wind. No matter how much air he breathes into the oxygen mass, it only puts him in a spiritual room with souls that enter a majestic-like portal, which he eventually touches and ends up in another dark, completely voided space. The music video combined with the lyrics sums up that this person is already in the afterlife. However, because of their naivety and arrogance while they were human, they're clueless of the seeds they've sown. Hope you guys can wrap your mind around what I just said. I'm trying to wrap my mind around it as well. But that is pretty much the summary of the music video. I just wanted to get that out there because I think it was a very, very interesting music video. And it was awesome, man. It was awesome. I think it definitely deserved to win Best Music Video for the Mid-Year Awards. In the next category, we have the Best Song. Nominees are Cyberhacks, Motionless in White, Opiate, Monuments, There's Fear in Letting Go, I Prevail, BFBTG, Motionless in White. And the winner goes to Cyberhex by Motionless in White. Come on, guys. You already knew the answer to this. Gotta be, I'm not gonna say I'm being biased, but no, it's true, though. I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, you know, well, obviously, we just covered recently, you know, I Prevail's album and how much we enjoyed their Sphere and Letting Go. So it definitely deserves a spot up here. BFBTG by Motionless in White. Just a very catchy, awesome song that was dark and catchy at the same time, which is hard to do. Opiate by Monuments, brilliant song, top to bottom. Genius of a song. But, you know, you gotta go Cyberhex. It's dark, it's loud, it's in your face, it's heavy. It's a song where, you know, I could see myself at a show just going absolutely ballistic. So far, Cyberhex is the best song of 2022. In this scene, baby. Moving on, we have the best album so far, mid-year. And the nominees are In Stasis, Monuments, Lost in the Waves, The Complete Edition by Landmarks, Death Rattle Sing for Me, Norma Jean, and Scoring the End of the World by Motionless and White, and True Power by I Prevail. This was a tough one for me, but overall, you know, everyone had their style, everyone did their thing. Landmarks sounds a little bit different from all of these guys. Norma Jean has their style. They're a little bit different from everybody in here. Monuments, obviously, the only prog metalcore outfit in this list. But overall, we had to go with Scoring the End of the World, okay? It's one of those Motionless and White albums that gave you everything. We got a lot of heaviness on this. We got, you know, the signature lighter songs that they're really good at doing. We got the radio songs. We got just, we got everything on this album. So, with that being said, there was a lot of four-star songs. We even had plenty of four, I think I had a couple of 4.5s, but we definitely had 2.5s. And with all that being said, of course, I mean, you gotta go Scoring the End of the World. Our next category is Best Breakout Band Mid-Year Award. This goes to the band that has come on the scene more recently with either singles or albums, and they seem as though, based on what they have done so far, that they have potential to really make noise in our scene. So, of course, we look forward to that because all great bands have to start somewhere. And our nominees are Prompts, Until I Wake, May the Tempest, and The Sleeper. Now, this was a pretty difficult category to do as well, I would say. You know, a lot of newbies, they're kind of like getting their footing, getting their ground. But overall, when I consider the entire discography of all four of these bands, it became apparent that the winner of this should be Sleeper, or The Sleeper. Really good album that they just came out with this year called Radiant. If you guys have not listened to it, definitely go check it out. They came out with a single, Premonitions. That's one of my favorite songs by them. And they definitely just seem as though they're headed in the right direction. You know, they got some momentum, and we're going to see. Let's see if they could see if they can keep it going. And even their EP Apparatus is pretty solid. But you can see they were more raw then. But we'll see what happens. And the last category, we have the best feature. This award goes to the best artist feature on a song and the impact that they had to the song. Unfortunately, there's only two contestants here, and that is Spencer Sotelo on Arch Nemesis, a Monument song, and Brian Garris on Slaughterhouse, a Motionless and White song. And I know this is going to seem super biased, but it's not. If you guys are actually into the scene and you pay attention, the winner goes to Brian Garris on Slaughterhouse. Brian Garris, what he did and what he provided on that song. For as good as Spencer is, just individually as a vocalist, Brian Garrett changed the dynamic of that song. He actually made me feel as though if Motionless and White just only had heavy songs, that they would be not only the best band, but they would just go to another fucking level. Like, that deathcore influence that this song had, his ability to just be in your face, it was just awesome. Because one thing about Motionless and White is that when they have heavy songs, instrumentally, it's so heavy and dark that, you know, as good as Chris is at growls and just his vocal range and everything, man, Brian Garrett, you know, because he's in a hardcore band, you know, so they're used to just, you know, I'm not going to say they're used to depending on him, but like, he's like the, you know, he's the engine of their band, you know, his just in your face style and all of that. So Emotionless and White doesn't depend on that with Chris. So with all that being said, I do believe that Brian Garrett provided something that I did not know. He unlocked something with Motionless and White, and it was fucking awesome. It was fucking metal. And with all that being said, guys, that is unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on who you are, going to wrap up this episode. This is a super fun episode. I had so much fun doing the research, listening to the voicemails. I appreciate that a lot. Definitely keep reaching out, man. Reach out. I want to hear more. I want to be more active in what you guys think and what you guys want and what you guys, you know, just understand about the scene. I'm definitely, you know, you don't even have to ask me questions. You could just make comments. I just want to hear more conversations about the genre because I love this shit. You know, this is my passion. I love discussing this. You know, some guys want to talk about girls all day, or some guys want to talk about partying all day. I could talk about this shit all day. This is who I am, you know. So with that being said, definitely reach out. I hope you guys are staying fucking metal, of course. Some things I'm going to do on the next episode. Hopefully I can release one within a week from now. I plan on talking about some other bands that are coming out. Like I mentioned, with that category, Best Breakout Band, my next episode might actually be about just completely about the new scene and what they're doing, and maybe I'll compare it to some, you know, things that some of the great older bands, I'm not going to say older, but some of the great albums and things of that nature that was released, you know, maybe 10 years ago and things of that nature, but we'll see. I'll put it together. You guys tell me what you want, and I'll definitely do that as well. But stay on the lookout for the next episode. It's going to be metal. Hope you guys are keeping everything fucking brutal in your life, and just being safe and sound, man. That's what life's all about. But anyways, that's going to wrap it up, guys. Keep your foot on the pedal. And do what? Stay metal. That's gonna do it. I'm out. Peace.
Oh, thank you.